So what does this mean, another double dip recession worldwide?
Well, you know, the economy, the global economy has been very dependent on issuing more and more debt. And now that you can't keep expanding the debt anymore, and now we're literally seeing an economic contraction. And that economic contraction has a lot of spiral down to go. So if there's more pain to be felt, and the question is, how are we going to pay that debt off, and how are we going to get the debt down? That's really, you've got a huge debt overhang, George, and it's just going to have to get worked through.
Absolutely. And what I find amazing, too, Catherine, right now, we're in this slump, yet now I see gasoline prices and diesel fuel costs going back up again. As a matter of fact, diesel in California is close to $4 a gallon. You know, that's got to be pushing truck drivers over.
That's
very painful. It's just incredible. How can things keep going up in price like that when we're still in a recession? I don't care what the government says. We're still in one.
Because prices have been held down as we've printed all this paper, and now we're going to have to reconcile the paper to real things. So you can create, you know, trillions of dollars of treasury and trillions of dollars of fiat currency, but you still only have so much oil available. You still only have so much land available. And so there's an embedded inflation that's got to work its way through as the debt unwinds. So you're going to have both, deflation of income, but inflation of expenses.
I'm still seeing companies closing down,
Dropping
off people, laying them off. You know, I just mentioned a friend of mine, her dad's company employed 30 people
it
in St. Louis.
Heart. Yeah, it's small business that's been that's created all the business or the jobs in this country since 1985. They're the heart and soul. And what we're watching is a financial system, George, which is basically driving small business out of business because and this is at the heart of all the squabbles going on in Wall Street right now, which is if one group of players can have free capital, no matter how they behave, and other players like small business have to pay a fortune for that capital and there's no protection or guarantees when they make mistakes, you know, then it's only a matter of time until all the capital's on Wall Street at the firms who have the inside deals and everybody else is going out of business.
So as we look at the economic mess that I think we're still in,
right?
And I assume you would say that too, right?
Absolutely.
Do you see a light at the end of the tunnel?
Sure. You know,
how long's the tunnel?
Well, how long 2012? Do you behave in uneconomic ways? You know, if you behave in uneconomic ways, George, there are no solutions. You know, think if this is, think if this is a family that's behaving dysfunctionally. You know, they're staying up late, they're drinking, they're eating rotten food. You know, they don't get up.
They're going to get sick. They're going to die of heart attacks.
Right. I mean, you know, if you behave in uneconomic ways, then there's not a way out. And if you keep spending down your savings, there's no way out. Now, if you turn that around and you start behaving in economic ways, then, I'll give you a perfect example. If everybody behaves like a criminal, then there's nobody left to steal from. Do you know what I mean? In other words, there's no honest folks to kind of drain. I mean, it's a little bit, you know, my nickname for all of this is the tapeworm, because the tapeworm injects into you a chemical that makes you crave what's good for the tapeworm and bad for you. And so the host ultimately sort of gets drained or dies. And that's what you're watching. And the reality is we can't afford the parasite anymore. And what you're watching play out in the politics now, whether it's at the state or federal or local level, is, you know, how do you tell the parasite to grow up and stop being a parasite?
Well, that's true. How
right?
do you? You can't.
How do you do it?
You got to get rid of the parasite.
Yeah. And we all have to stop being, you know, codependent. Because we've been facilitating this, we've been allowing this, we've been encouraging this. I mean, if you look at the bad behavior, it's really funny. I did a lot during the 90s for government reengineering, because I told you, we had neighborhoods where we would be spending $250,000 per housing unit to build new public housing when $50,000 would buy and rehab a single family home. So we could have had five homes for the price of one. You know, but when you tried to explain to all the people who are doing that. I went to the person at HUD who was the special assistant to the person running the program, and I said, Mindy, you know, we could get five homes for the price of one. And she looked at me and she said, but how would we generate fees for our friends?
Yeah, that's what it all comes down to, doesn't it?
Well, but half of America is now dependent on fees to our friends.
Yeah.
So this is a very deep change, George. And yes, if we refuse to change, it's hopeless.
Well, can we keep doing what we're doing in Afghanistan and Iraq? You know, they're going to ask for billions of dollars more. I remember when we went in 2003, and President Bush at the time asked for $85 billion. I said at that time, almost 7 years ago, this is just the tip of the iceberg. It's not going to stop. It's like a sieve. And, you know, here we are, the President Obama asking for billions of dollars more for Iran and Afghanistan. When does this end, and how much bleeding can we take there?
Well, if you look at this as a mathematical problem, in theory, it can last as long as we want, as long as we're willing to engage in the force necessary to make to tax the world globally. So we have to enforce global taxation through the dollar and the treasury financing system, and it's going to take global fascism and depopulation to do it. But in theory, it can be done. It's a military, and you know, it's a question of can you inflict the necessary force. Now, to me, that's not going to work, and I think it would be better if we changed the economic model. But, you know, we've been on the central banking warfare model for 500 years, and it's been very successful for the people who did it. So, you know, the central banks print fiat currency, and then the military forces people to take it, and forces lots of countries to allow their natural resources to be extracted on a cheap basis. And that model has been very successful for the people who've implemented it. And the question is, we're coming into the end game, and it's either change or depopulate.
Well, you know, as we look at the situation now that is affecting people on credit cards, their housing, I want to get into housing in just a second, Catherine, as well. What's happening in that arena? People, for example, are getting their credit card lines reduced dramatically.
Right.
What's happening there?
Well, what we saw, George, throughout the 90s was a tremendous amount of money was pulled out of North America and invested abroad. So I've told the story of the president of CalPERS who said, you know, they've given up on the country, they're moving all the money out, starting in the fall, which was the fall of 1997, and they did. They moved tremendous amounts of money, both covertly and overtly, and have been reinvesting in the emerging markets where they have much greater populations. And the way they financed that was by issuing tremendous amounts of fraudulent paper. And what we've been watching in the bailouts over the last 2 years is taxpayers around the world assuming responsibility for the fraudulent paper that is issued